We welcome you back into the Bun Sports Show on this Tuesday as we are rolling toward week 8 of the college football season. My name is Jacob Bun. Welcome back into the Bun Sports Show. As always, I am joined, as I am every Tuesday, by the college football professor who is in studio with us today. Good afternoon, Professor.
Good afternoon, Jacob. I guess you could say, whoa, Nelly, we are right in the middle of this season.
Keith Jackson will be on the program later. No, I'm just kidding. One thing before we get started. The New York Times reported last evening that Missouri is very close to a deal to joining the SEC. So I just wanted to make sure we get that out of the way first. Don't know how far it is along, but Pete Thamel, outstanding investigative columnist for the New York Times, his sources are telling him that things are imminent for a deal that would bring Missouri to the SEC. So that's where that expansion front is. Well, it was an interesting weekend. A couple of undefeated teams dropped, but not any of the big guns. What were your thoughts and impressions of Week 7 in college football?
I've just thought about the fact that in early August, these teams begin to prepare. And through those hot days in August, they worked hard. I guess you could be, if you wanted to compare it to a farmer working his crop, they did a lot of hard work, did a lot of plowing, planting seed. And the truth is, Jacob, some of these teams are beginning to harvest some, and some of them, I'm afraid, I guess you could say, that they're turning to weeds. But we got quite a ways to go, and a lot of things can happen yet.
Illinois was one of the victims of an upset as they went down to Ohio State, ending their undefeated streak 17-7 in that one. Michigan, 28-14, was a loser in East Lansing, and I believe that's the fourth year in a row now that Michigan State has beaten the Wolverines. And the other victim was the biggest upset of all. Virginia upended the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech 24-17, ending the collision course that Georgia Tech and Clemson were on. Clemson remained undefeated, inexplicably. I believe they won something like 54-49 in a last-second thriller over Maryland. Any other thoughts?
Well, I was thinking about a couple of things. One, I would like to comment on some coaching.
Okay.
Now, we haven't done that much of doing an analysis of what's going on, but I want to make a comment about the University of Florida.
Well, you've been, one thing before you get started, you've been a coach, so I think you are certainly much more qualified than I am to speak on coaching.
I think they have that Florida has made a huge mistake in trying to prepare three quarterbacks who have no experience to get ready for a game. It's hard enough to get one quarterback with little experience ready for a game. And so if you're preparing three, that means you're dividing the reps and trying to get them ready for the game. And then you're trying to get them to get timing down with the rest of the offensive players. And using three quarterbacks like this, none of them with experience, none of them having a lot of time to play with the other offensive players, just simply will not work. And I think we've seen that. They have looked unorganized. They have looked, their timing has looked off. And I believe they would have been a lot better served had they spent time with one of those young quarterbacks, given him a lot of reps, and prepared him for the game. But that's their coach. They're the coaches, and that's just my comment on it. The other thing, Jacob, we talk about quarterbacks. We talk about offensive line, defensive teams. Before the season started, we talk about some of these teams who had great receivers. I believe that Oklahoma, who are now number one or number two or number three, according to which poll or which rating we get, but anyway, they're one of the top three teams. I believe they have some of the best receivers. They really look good at their receiving core.
Yeah, especially that Stills out there seems to always be making a touchdown catch when they need one. Let me go back to one thing you were talking about, coaching. By the way, Florida, you mentioned Florida. They were a 17-6 loser to Auburn in Jordan-Hare Stadium. But let me ask you something. As a former coach yourself, you see the tension, and I don't know if you saw it live, but coming off of the field, Georgia defensive coordinator Todd Grantham and Vanderbilt head coach James Franklin got into a little bit of they had some words coming off of the field. And that's not the first time Grantham's been involved in a controversy. Last year he gave, on video, a choke like a choking signal to the Florida kicker as he was about to kick the winning field goal. On Sunday, we saw two NFL coaches have a little bit of a back and forth coming off of the field, Jim Harbaugh and Jim Schwartz, the head coaches of the 49ers and the Lions. What is it with coaches? I want your analysis on all of that.
I think it would serve well if there was some kind of protocol established. Maybe there's been an unwritten protocol, because at the end of a game, some people are more emotional, they get upset, they might say or do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do, so it causes a problem. Now, I know that there are those out in the fandom who say, oh, I love that. They like to see things disorganized. They like to see chaos. But I don't think that bodes well for the college game or for the professional game. And so I just wish there would be some kind of a protocol, not just unwritten, but a sense of a way to act and what to do.
Well, let's turn our attention now to next week, and we got a lot of big games again, it seems like, week after week, as we continue. Some of the big powers in action, again, though not playing one another, we really don't have a big game between two top teams until Alabama and LSU play in a couple of weeks. But they still are playing teams that could beat them. So let's start. What are your thoughts as we turn our attention to week 8?
Well, there are three or four games that really are interesting, other than the ones we will go over in a little bit. Western Kentucky, it's interesting that they this year chose Louisiana Lafayette for their homecoming. That's going to be Louisiana Lafayette is a very good football team this year. And Western Kentucky chose them for their homecoming. So that'll be interesting. But there are two or three games that we won't be talking about later. That are really outstanding games. SMU at Southern Miss. Southern Cal at Notre Dame. And, of course, Oregon State at Washington State.
Well, I put that USC, I put that down as one of the games I wanted to dive into this week, because I think that it's not playing for a national championship. Obviously, USC can't do that. They're ineligible, and Notre Dame's out of it. But it's still a big game, and I think this is about as balanced as we've had both of those teams in a while, since they were really in it a couple of years ago in, like, 2005. So I think that game is back to where it is. But so let's pick the games this weekend. Who do you have? Let's start with who you got up first.
First of all is Vanderbilt and Army playing in Nashville.
Wow.
Vanderbilt has a 3-3 record. Army has a 2-4 record. Now, when we think about this Army-Vanderbilt, remember that in 2009, Army defeated Vanderbilt 16-13. Now, I believe Vanderbilt is better than they were in 2009, and I'm not so sure that Army is as good as they were in 2009. And so I'm going to say that the black and gold is going to come out on top this year. I mean the black and gold of Vanderbilt. I pick Vanderbilt to win this game.
Yeah, if you're looking at this through a military point of view, I'm going to have to go with the Commodores, those who I guess you could classify in the Navy, against the Army in this one. I'm going to have to go with you on that. I think Vanderbilt's on a roll. I know they've lost the last two, but they played really good teams. I am going to go with Vanderbilt over Army.
The next game is Arkansas at Ole Miss. Now, Arkansas has won 7 out of the last 10 games. However, Houston Nutt is 2-1 versus his former team, the Arkansas Razorbacks. But when he was at the coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, he knew how to defeat Ole Miss. In fact, the last 2 years at Arkansas, in 2007, he won 44-8. In 2006, he won 38-3. But I'm going to go with the Arkansas Razorbacks to win this game, even though it's being played in Oxford.
It'll be another feast on Ole Miss week, as Alabama did last week. Yeah, I think it's going to be Arkansas's to lose, even though it is in Oxford. But I really just don't see – I didn't see anything from Ole Miss the other night that shows me that they're going to be able to win any of these big games. And Arkansas, they've only lost that one game. Now, they've rebounded against Texas A&M and Auburn, had the off week. Perhaps they can come down the stretch and really become a BCS contender.
The next game is Tennessee at the University of Alabama. Last year, Alabama won this game 41-10. And in that game, when Alabama won 41-10, if you might remember, Alabama outscored Tennessee 28-0 in the second half. And this makes four straight wins for Alabama over Tennessee. But last year before last, in fact, the last time they played in Tuscaloosa, the Alabama had to have two block punts in order to win that game.
Field goals.
Two block field goals to win that game, 12-10.
Well, and it's amazing how far this game has fallen nationally. Alabama and Tennessee fans still get excited about, well, at least Alabama fans do. I'm not sure Tennessee fans are too excited about what's coming up this weekend. But this game used to be a game that everybody in the nation made sure they watched because it was a big-time game. It always had national championship implications. That's just not the case anymore, at least for Tennessee. Now, Alabama, obviously, is undefeated, but it's just amazing how far the game has fallen. And this is the first game at Bryant-Denny Stadium between the two that it's going to be a night start. Now, that's obviously a little bit of a trick question because the games for years were played at Legion Field. But still, it shows how the game has fallen off in recent years. I think the SEC needs it to get back.
Our next game will be Auburn at LSU. This is being played, of course, in Baton Rouge. Did you know that LSU won the only national championship in boxing that any SEC team has ever won? The SEC, LSU was the national champion in boxing in 1949. But I'm predicting that there will be a TKO in this game, but it's going to be Auburn, and it'll be LSU again winning the boxing match. But we need to think about this. Last year, LSU lost to Auburn 24-17. But the visitor in this game since 2000, the visiting record is 1 win and 10 losses. And LSU has won the last 5 home games against Auburn.
Well, this is one that there's no way I can go against LSU at home. I will caution LSU as they head into their bye week to be careful because this Auburn team can find ways to make plays, and they're obviously coming out on top a lot. But I don't think they're going to win. I think LSU will take this game mildly easily. I don't really particularly care for Russell Shepard tweeting things toward the Auburn players and so forth. I don't think that's very smart going into a game like this. And Auburn can be dangerous, but it's going to be LSU's day on Saturday. They'll go into the bye week undefeated before the big matchup with Alabama.
The next game is Wisconsin at Michigan State. Last year, Michigan State won this game 34-24. I don't know if you know this or not, Jacob, but under Bielema, the Wisconsin Badgers are 10 wins and 10 losses on the road in the last 20 games. And also remember that D'Antonio did not coach last year in this game. He was out because of an illness. But the home team has 6 straight wins in this particular matchup by an average of 15 points. So I'm going to go with the team that's at home this year. I'm going to pick Michigan State to win this game.
What a pick. That's a bold pick. I'm not going to go that far because I think Wisconsin's too good. But I do think Michigan State will give them a test on the road. But Wisconsin's a handful, and I know they're not playing. They haven't played great competition, and that's why they're not going to climb in the BCS. But they are a handful, and other Big Ten teams are going to know that soon.
Our next game is Boston College at Virginia Tech. Now, Boston College and Virginia Tech, if I remember correctly, they were in the Big East Conference from 1992-93 until 2001 or two for about 10 years or more. And so when they came into the Atlantic Coast Conference, I'm sure that Virginia Tech was chosen, but Virginia Tech probably told the Atlantic Coast Conference, I will not come into the Atlantic Coast Conference unless you let me bring Boston College with me so that I can continue to have this foe to play each year.
Virginia Tech, I was really impressed by the fact that they went on the road and defeated Wake Forest last week. Now, of course, it's just Wake Forest. But still, they did knock off Florida State the week before. So that Wake Forest can give you problems. I was impressed with the way that Virginia Tech did that. Now, they will face Boston College. I predict a win for them on that one. Okay, a couple of weeks down the road, November the 10th, it's a Thursday night, they play Georgia Tech. And I believe that that game on that Thursday night is going to be the championship of that Atlantic Coastal Division there.
As I think about Boston College, I remember their athletic director talking about how they would, you know, they got upset when the Atlantic Coast Conference was talking about bringing UConn into the Atlantic Coast, and they were upset saying that the New England area was their area, so they were trying to guard their turf.
Swofford.
They need to what they need to do is guard their football field a little more, that part of the turf.
Yeah, I think so.
Our next game would be Indiana at Iowa.
Wow.
Now, Indiana has led in the second half the last 2 years. But last year they lost 24 to 42 Iowa won. And in 07 Indiana won 38-20. In 06 Indiana won 31-28. I'm simply saying that, Jacob, to say that it's not impossible that Indiana could win this game. I'm just going to say it's just about almost impossible.
This is the disappointment bowl here between Indiana and Iowa, for sure, because Indiana, as you said, I mean, they've just been dismal this year in Iowa. I've been disappointed with the way they've played as well. But I'm going to have to go with Iowa. Yeah, I'm not sure Indiana's going to be able to knock them off.
The next game is Washington at Stanford. Washington comes into this game with a 5-1 record. Stanford comes in with a 6-0 record. Stanford has won 3 straight. I'm going to pick the Washington Huskies to win this game.
Man, you are really going out on some limbs this week with Michigan State and Washington. I am going to go with Stanford again, the safe pick, but they're at home, and it's hard for me to go against Andrew Luck and the offense at home. But I will say this, and you've mentioned them every week, so I will give credit to Washington so far this year. They've done a masterful job, but we'll see how they do Saturday night.
The next game is West Virginia at Syracuse. West Virginia is 5-1. Syracuse is 4-2. Syracuse is having a pretty good year this year. But I think when you get the musket after the orange, it's going to be a sad day up in eastern part of New York. So I'm going to pick West Virginia to win this game.
Yeah, the musket after the orange. I do like that. I'm going to have to go with West Virginia as well. I just like the way they're playing right now. I know that's on the road, and Syracuse can give them a threat. And it is on Thursday night, I believe, for your viewing pleasure. So, or I could be mistaken about that, but I believe it is. But anyway, it'll be a good game, and I'm going to go with West Virginia.
The last game we'll pick is North Carolina at Clemson. I guess you could look at these two teams right now, I'm talking about now, and North Carolina would be the dysfunctional team, and Clemson would be the one that's got it all together. So, that would say that the best thing to go, the best route to go, the best thing to do would be to simply say Clemson will win this game going away. But I'm going to disagree. I'm going to pick North Carolina to beat Clemson this week.
I mean, we need to make sure we keep track of all that. So you got Michigan State, Washington, and now you're going to pick North Carolina. I mean, you're either going to look like a genius or not very high percentage after this week. I'm going to have to go once again against you with a safe pick, and Clemson is just too good right now. I think they had their scare last week when they went to the snake pit against Maryland, and I just don't see them doing much this week. Well, let's go to the chalk board now as we round out our picks for the week, and what do you have for us this week?
When we look at individual players, sometimes we know that football is a team game, but yet individual players come together to make up a team. Let's look at something. Barrett Jones, who plays offensive line for the University of Alabama, he has started 31 consecutive games, 31 straight games he started in the line, offensive line for the university. And in those 31 games, he has blocked for 21 100-yard rushers. And Trent Richardson now, who has rushed for something, I don't know exactly, but in his career, somewhere around 2,200 yards or better, something like that, he has rushed, and he has scored probably over 24 touchdowns. So, Jacob, what we see is that here's an offensive lineman who has started 31 games, blocked for 21 100-yard rushes, and how many weeks in a row now has Trent Richardson run for 100 yards? So we see that is how two individual team players, but they are part of a total team effort.
Absolutely, and you can see Trent Richardson Saturday evening at 6:15 on ESPN2 as Alabama plays Tennessee in Tuscaloosa. It'll be fun. Professor, as always, it's good to talk with you, and I look forward to it next week.
Thank you, and I hope everybody enjoys their great day of college football.
Should be a good weekend. We'll be back soon.